one of the world's most popular drinks, and many of us can't face the day without a cup. But how much do we know about the realities of this multi-billion industry? I'm Andrea Corenda, and my guest for this episode of the Flossert podcast is Sajindranath AK, Certification Manager for Asia Pacific at Flossert. Saji, as we call him here at Flossert, has been associated with Fairtrade and Flossert since 2004. He started as an auditor, then joined Flossert as a certification analyst when our office in India has been established in 2008. He has worked as an auditor, senior certification analyst, certifier, assurance scheme manager, or trainer auditor. Saji has been auditing across many countries in the Asia-Pacific region for all fair trade standards and products. He is a qualified agronomist with a PhD in horticultural science. He loves research and has a few scientific papers on agriculture published. Hi, Saji. Thank you very much for accepting my invitation.
Hi, Andrea. Pleasure to be talking to you.
Saji, your background is quite impressive. We are talking today about tea, and you've been auditing tea since 2004, right?
Yes.
And you are also the certification manager for Asia Pacific. You've seen quite a lot. So the tea industry is a multi-billion one, yet the working conditions for those growing and harvesting tea are often challenging. Saji, what are these challenges? And in order to have a bigger picture, can you say a few words about the history of tea in India?
Yes, it's a very good question. Tea, if you see, has a long history. It started off from China, where it's very culturally significant. Europeans were the ones who introduced tea into India and in Africa. And in certain parts, it has taken as the main industry there. The problems in tea has a historical background. For example, if you see tea growing regions in India, which are basically in Assam, in Darjeeling, and on the South Indian hills. Here, these gardens were started off by European settlers here. That was about 100 years back. And mostly this was wilderness at that point. It was cleared and people were made to settle in these regions, and they were given accommodation inside the gardens. They settled there and they did the plantations and they worked in the gardens.
So would you say that this history posed a challenge to the tea industry in the north until today?
Also, if you see within the country, the conditions in the southern part of India, where the plantations are there, are much better when you compare to gardens in, for example, in the eastern part of, northeastern part of India, in Assam, for example. This is not just on the tea gardens. This is reflected also in the other indices within India. For example, the living standards, the income difference, the level of education is also different in these two regions. So the problems also are a bit different. Southern Indian gardens, the workers are a little bit having a better wages. The living conditions are better. The housing situation is bit better compared to Assam, which has been historical, but also is reflected not only in tea gardens, but also in the population there.
Fairtrade has just revisited its tea standard to support tea workers in plantations better. With this revision, we see, for example, the introduction of a gender policy, which was missing, allowing women to participate more in decisions. Can you talk a bit about the clauses that changed?
Yes, along with the times, the standards also are evolving. For example, the recent review had clauses on worker rights. Gender equality is a big issue. Empowerment of women is another issue in these places. And the standards have put clauses which looks into this. Other clauses on the working conditions for the workers, for example, the clauses on better housing, better sanitation, washing facilities, etc. These were already there in the standard. Now it has been more emphasized. Then the other part is that we want workers to be more involved in the fair trade certification. be more involved or to know what the non-conformities have been identified by the auditors, and so that they also have a say in finding a solution to that. There is also some clauses on wages, but this wages is a sensitive issue because in tea plantation especially, which is highly dependent on workers, the labor cost is the biggest cost for tea production. So this is still a thing which is in discussion, which has been identified by fair trade as an issue, but the solutions are difficult.
So Flowcert has the mission to check during audits if a certified organization offers a decent working environment for its workers. Can you tell us some common violations of the fair trade standards, non-conformities that you find in an audit? And when you as an auditor find them, what then happens?
I would block those non-conformities into different categories. One is on the issues regarding environment, because tea, when it's grown in a large scale, is bound by the pressure of pests and diseases like any other agriculture crop. And we in the past, we have seen certain non-conformities, which I would say recently have reduced a lot. Then regarding workers thing, when management has issues on their the income, we have seen that it reflects in timely payment of wages. Other cases which we see is housing, but this again is not a common thing in all regions. This is a bigger problem in Assam and in Darjeeling. Basically, as I told you before, the living conditions there are, if you compare to the South Indian gardens, are a bit backward, I should say. And that is reflected also in the non-conformities. The next, I would say, non-conformity is on the use of premium and the elections of the premium committee and non-conformities associated with that. For example, a general assembly has not taken place, or a decision to spend on a premium has not approved in the general assembly of workers. Sometimes elections don't take place on time, and then we raise it as a non-conformity and we make that happen. Sometimes the premium committee does not reflect the workers. For example, if there are more female workers, but the committee has no female workers in it. I should say that certain non-conformities like child labor and forced labor, and we don't see in the tea gardens as much. Especially because what I feel is this highly organized sector with a lot of regulatory mechanisms going around, and therefore it would be too dangerous for any management to even employ a child. So these are the non-conformities there. During an audit, when we come across a non-conformity, we do explain it to the management immediately, and then during the closing meeting, we also try to elicit their response. They suggest the corrective measures and how they're going to correct it, and that is recorded. And during the certification process, we give them time for them to close these things. And in case we think that we need to go and do an audit again, a follow-up audit, we do that also to check if there is compliance to the requirements.
Sachi, my last question is regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, which had a serious impact on many industries. The flower industry, for example, was dramatically affected. What about the tea industry?
True. COVID-19 pandemic also seriously affected the tea industry. For example, in India, when there was a lockout, when it happened in 2020 around March, where the government had put a complete stop on all travel, it created a problem. Tea was not, the gardens were not able to, be sent out the tea because transportation was not happening. Workers, especially migrant workers who had come from in other regions, they had a tough time because they couldn't find work in the gardens, and they then couldn't go back because there's no transportation. But I think the government, within a few months or 1 or 2 months, they felt that stopping everything is not productive. Tea gardens were then allowed to start working. I should also say that the fair trade movement also chipped in, supporting them, the producers, with 1 year's certification fee. The standards unit had allowed the premium money to be paid in cash to all the workers in case they were not paid on time. Also, on the part of Flowcert, we also converted many of the audits to remote audits. So I think overall, the certified gardens were better off than the, I said, non-certified gardens. And that is the strength of fair trade, I should say.
Another reason to be fair trade certified. Thank you so much, Saji, for this interesting interview. It was great to have you here today. Good luck with your activities.